Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
Our very first guest in the history of Wilde and Tausch, which will be, I'm sure, a long and distinguished history.
Packers Hall of Famer Mark Tauscher.
Aaron Rodgers, give us an over-under on what number would you set for how many shows we do.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio at ESPN Madison.
I'm going to say they leave 52 weeks a year. I'm going to say you do about 230.
And celebrating 10 great years on ESPN Wisconsin.
And then what happens?
No, then Tausch kind of bows out.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Got another alert. I assume he set it on Get Up or maybe on Unsportsmanlike, but Windy with more on Yanni. And I'm still getting tired of it. Edition. I was going to say, speaking of people I'm tired of, but that's not true. Evan Cohen scheduled to appear of Unsportsmanlike. Andy, I got an interesting question today on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. And I didn't have a great answer for them, which I know isn't a surprise. So I'm going to pose it to the panel edition of Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam, ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker, streaming live video, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and of course everything you need on the magnificent, fantastic, incredible ESPN Wisconsin app, which you can find both in the Apple and Android app stores. I'm Jason Wilde in Green Bay. Jesse Nelson is in the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studios and in his undisclosed location. He's the Packers Hall of Famer. He is Mark Tauscher. Tausch, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing good, buddy. How are you guys doing?
I'm great. Jesse, how are you? Because I am proud of you for checking in with me this morning before you sent out the latest Steinhoffel sleeper of the past 10 years. And then you didn't really like my feedback, but at least you listened to it. So thank you.
Yeah, it's my own fault. I have placed myself in the position to be subject to nitpickery when it comes to the Steinhoffel sleeper of the last 10 years.
Oh, getting the facts straight is nitpickery now?
I mean, if the guy gets waived in his second season in Green Bay, he played two seasons in Green Bay. He played one.
He played one season and a half.
He played in season one, and then he played in season two. He played two seasons in Green Bay. If he's getting waived in the middle of the season, he's still playing two seasons. Was he in Green Bay for one season, or was he in Green Bay for two seasons? But I understand.
Neither.
I have no place to complain about this type of feedback because last week I botched it. So I'm frustrated, but I'm frustrated with myself for putting myself in the position. Hand up. My bad. Text us at 844-770-3776 with this week's Steinhoffel sleeper of the last 10 years.
Well, why don't you read it? Because I would like to hear this. I saw the text string, and by the time I looked, there was 22 texts, and I just thought you guys
there
probably had
it figured out. There weren't 22 texts. There were like 8.
There was a lot of texts. No, it was a lot. So why don't you read it, and then let me see if I can find some holes.
Oh, let's go to the judge.
So this week's Steinhoffel sleeper of the last 10 years, which this is posted on our Wilde and Tausch Twitter feed and Facebook page.
So was this the original?
No.
Jesse, was this the original?
This is the
Now, wait a minute.
Up-to-date
I have
Jason
original.
Edited.
Would you like the original first?
Yeah, let's start with the original. Leave this up because everyone on YouTube can look and get it.
All right, well, if we're going to hang on. If we're going to do this now, we might as well just do this now. Here we go.
All right, sleepyheads. Wakey, wakey.
We'll have less sleep, we'll be grumpy.
Rise and shine. It's this week's Steinhoffel's Sleeper of the Last 10 Years.
It is our Steinhoffel's Sleeper of the Last 10 Years, presented by Steinhoffel's. And the Steinhoffel's 4th of July mattress sale is kicking off. It's your chance to save big at Steinhoffel's, where you can save up to $1,000 on Beautyrest adjustable base sets. Get comfortable for less with a Queen Beautyrest world-class mattress starting at just $1,299. And if you're ready to go all in on luxury, step up to the Beautyrest Black and score $300 in Steinhoffel's cash. And making it even easier, they're going to be having 60-month 0% special financing. So don't miss out on this bonus as well. For a limited time, if you test rest a Beautyrest Black, you'll receive a $25 gift card. Hurry in today or shop anytime online at steinhoffels.com. And as always, relax, Steinhoffels. All right, so here is the original version that was set with, and I think there's a very important little tidbit from Jesse Nelson. Please review for approval and or edits before 8 a.m.
Because that's a responsible thing to do after last week's debacle with
asking
Tom Summers and Tyler Lancaster. Yes.
And edits after a self-inflicted mistake where you got a major fact wrong.
Yep.
And you did ask for approval and or edits. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I said let's just make sure we don't Jeff Probst anything and give
we
away
won't.
Answers.
Don't give it we away.
Won't. We're on top of it. This wide receiver's tenure, Jesse Nelson wrote in the original version, in Green Bay lasted just 2 seasons. And while he didn't put the title in Titletown, he did win a championship while in college at Clemson and with the Birmingham Stallions in the UFL.
Pretty good clue.
I took exception to lasted just 2 seasons.
Captain Nitpick.
Oh, yeah.
I've opened the door. Captain Nitpick. Every week now,
that's
Tuesday
fair,
mornings. Here he comes.
I'm sorry. Wait a minute. I'm sorry. What was that you said?
Captain Nitpick.
No, not
riding
you.
Riding into town.
No, not you. Tausch said fair, though, I do believe. If my ears did not see
incredibly fair.
Me.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes. Incredibly fair.
So now here is the updated version with a small but important edit that was provided to one Jesse J. Nelson.
Not important at all.
You're just wrong, dude. This wide receiver's tenure in Green Bay ended when he was waived midway through his second season. But he did win a national championship at Clemson and a UFL title with the Birmingham Stallions. Subtle, but important.
How many years
was he drafted? Was he drafted with Goody or with Ted?
I don't know what the rules are here, Probstie.
Can I
give that piece of information? Because UFL title means it's a little more recent, right? That league didn't
even
exist.
Context clues, I think, and anyone would be able to figure out that Goody is the
Gutinator.
Person
yes,
who
sir.
Drafted this player. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We just can't be unfair and give people listening an unfair advantage to those who have seen this only on social media. Those are the rules.
So I can't really get into the most disappointing draft picks because he'd be right at him and your guy. And I don't even know if I can say his name because he was a defensive back from Iowa.
You can say his name.
Josh.
Can we say his name?
Josh Jackson, we can say. Let's not say the Steinhoffel.
Loved him in the Mighty Ducks, though.
Yeah. What?
You could make a pretty good
Charlie
argument.
Conway in the Ducks. Joshua Jackson, he's the actor. Go ahead.
Those are two of the more disappointing draft picks.
Yeah.
Probably in the last decade. Tell me where I'm wrong.
I think that's
You're
fair.
Not wrong. Premium picks squanderified. All right, so just to get clarification from Judge Judy.
There have been some defensive players who have been disappointing draft picks over the years.
In the Goody era, though.
Yeah, and there was on a, there day was two a, of drafts, those are pretty big picks that you don't want to miss.
I believe a lot of folks thought he was going to be Randall Cobb 2.0. That's what people thought when this happened. Is that fair?
Yes. And that's probably and where he was, that's probably where the line should be drawn on how much we say about this player.
Hey, Probst. Well,
he was a wide
we're on the cusp.
Okay.
He was a wide receiver.
All right,
yes,
that's
he
as
was
far
a wide
as I'll
receiver.
Go.
Yeah.
But I just think back to what was expected and what we all thought, and it never seemed like the quarterback at that time thought he put in the time to be good. If that makes that that's the vibe that you got throughout those training camps. And obviously for a what did the Steinhoffels sleeper of the week, what did it say, a year and a half is what it ended
yeah,
up
it
being.
Yeah, it ended before so he'd completed his
waived
second
it in his second season because he played two seasons in Green Bay.
He did not play two okay, seasons. Okay, and it said wide receiver. So I would think of all of the frustrating players, I would bet that the quarterback probably would put him as one of the most frustrated with because of his talent and because of what they ended up getting. And how often do you see, and I guess I can't say what round he was picked, but how often do you see a, as you mentioned, a premium pick not make it through his second season?
Yes, exactly.
That never
also
happens.
Also why that was a key piece of information to be included.
That never happens. That tells me there's more, as Andy Rooney used to say. There was always more to that story.
No, that's Paul Harvey.
What did Andy Rooney always say? That's the rest of the story?
Did you ever notice? That was Andy Rooney. All right.
Okay. Well, whoever said what.
This does kind of go back to yesterday's conversation about Sammy Watkins from the Name That Year game.
I didn't think you should even say that name because Sammy played. Don't say that name.
No,
I thought that he could have been it.
What are you doing?
You can't be doing that. You just probsted it. All of a sudden eliminated at Clemson wideout.
You did. Totally did.
You approached it.
The first
I was
going to
say that
of.
Name.
Yeah.
Oh boy. You just butchered it. What was the old butcher on Brady Bunch? You just sammed. Sam the butcher, right?
I believe
That's
so.
What
yes.
You just did.
Yes, indeed. Unbelievable.
I love this.
What are you doing?
I simultaneously love this contest, and I'm getting very frustrated with this contest week to week.
Yeah, I bet.
I'm going to tell you, when I read it the first time, my first thought was, wow, we talked about Sammy Watkins yesterday, and he made him the sleeper of the last 10 years the very next day.
No, Jesse said no.
Still could be.
I just don't could know.
Yeah. Yes, it still
I'm
could be since we've
think.
Said his name. Yes.
Would we say premium draft picks are first three rounds or first
yes.
two rounds?
First three, I think. I think third-round picks how you expect many, to be good players.
How many times in the last decade has someone that's been drafted third round or less not made it to at least the training camp of the third season?
Yeah, great
I bet that list. I bet that list is probably less than three players. Barring injury, career-ending injury.
Yeah.
That has to be taken out of the equation.
And we've discussed two of them already. One whose name shall not be named, Probstie. Jesse, I can't believe you just did that. You were all worried about Tausch and I giving it away, and then you just served up on a silver platter.
I specifically
a wrong
didn't
answer.
Say Sammy
right,
Watkins'
I know
name
what you were
just
doing.
For that reason.
Yeah, I'm Team Old Boy on this one. Yeah. Here's what we'll do. We'll talk about Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. And then so we can get to Evan Cohen on time, because you know he gets very irritated with us when we get to him late. We will go through the draft classes. We will leave this name out of the list.
I mean, if we say all the names, it's okay if we say the name. We just can't say just this name and talk about
this
guy.
You said
this
is a social media only thing. I also don't want to be giving away help on the radio on the audio.
We're not. We're here. This is
you. I think it's very interesting that you bend the rules the way you see fit.
Yeah, whatever fits his his parameters.
Uh-huh. Yeah, just call me Jesse Texas Tech Nelson.
Are you entering the supplemental draft now?
Thinking about it, yeah.
Can Jim, Matt, and Molly pick you up? Are you available and we'd have to replace you? If you're replacing your windows, the first-round pick for you would be a premium selection from Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Indeed, if you're shopping for new windows and doors, you don't need to be haggling. You just want straightforward pricing, honest conversations, and Pella sticks to that. They help homeowners find the right fit for their home, and they don't use high-pressure sales tactics. When you buy direct through Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, the same team that manufactures your windows and doors, they also sell them, install them, and will service them. Real pricing, premium quality, no games. Schedule your free in-home consultation today at PellaWI.com. We'll go through the draft picks, and I also want to pose this question to Jason Wilde. Is it worth a seventh-round flyer on a sordid, confused, tricky situation that once I was just told would have went higher than the 12th pick in this draft?
Ooh,
the Rams quarterback was graded out higher than the guy that the Rams picked with the 13th pick. This player will be available for every team in the league at the quarterback position. Would he want the Green Bay Packers to dabble into taking
he meaning me.
Man? You will find that out next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
All right, we'll get to Tausch's excellent question, because I also want to pose it to Evan Cohen when he joins us. But let's run through Goody's first, second, and third round picks and see if there's any examples of hyper disappointing players. And in fairness, in his final draft as the general manager, Ted Thompson's top three picks, he traded back and missed on T.J. Watt, or the team did. I'm not 100% sure exactly how that draft room worked that year. But Kevin King, Josh Jones, and Montrevious Adams were the 2 seconds and a third there. I think Montrevious Adams still bounced around a little bit, Tausch, after that, but not
well,
great.
Well, Kevin King played some good ball here for a little bit, right?
Yeah. All right, 2018.
Wasn't Josh Jones going to hold out for a stretch, too, wasn't he?
Yep. He was getting bad advice. I don't think he made it to a third season, but I think he made it to a third training camp. Jair Alexander, Joshua Jackson, Oren Burks, Rashawn Gary, Darnell Savage, Elton Jenkins, Jace Sternberger. I think Sternberger made it to a third camp but got released at it, if I remember right.
I think so. Yep.
Jordan Love, A.J. Dillon, Josiah DeGuara, Eric Stokes, Josh Myers, Amari Rodgers, Quay Walker, Devontae Wyatt, Christian Watson, Sean Ryan. Sean Ryan's a great example of a guy that you thought, oh, here we go again. Another bad third-round pick. And he made something of himself, despite the Packers' best efforts to get rid of him.
Yep.
Lucas Van Ness, Luke Musgrave, Jaden Reed, Tucker Kraft. Tucker Kraft pick's pretty darn good. Jordan Morgan, Edgerrin Cooper, Javon Bullard, Marshawn Lloyd, Tyron Hopper. Matthew Golden, Anthony Belton, Savion Williams. And then from this year, Brandon Cisse and Chris McClellan. So those are your first, second, and third picks, your day one and day two picks during the Goody era. All right, Tauschi. Tell me more about your question, because I think it's an excellent question. I think I have a really good answer for it.
Okay, so we discussed a little bit last week, and I think when Jason was going down, Jesse and I jumped into this a little bit more. This quarterback who was at Cincinnati, he was at Indiana, and was going to be the Texas Tech starter this year, getting paid.
Brandon Sorsby.
Sorsby, and I've been using the sordid joke for a stretch.
Indeed.
He allegedly, and I think confirmed, that
admittedly,
he gambled on his team and some stuff while he was at Indiana when he wasn't playing. It's the cardinal sin in sports as an active player. You can't do it. We all know it. The notes are up on the locker rooms when you walk in. You can do a lot of stuff, and you can get away with a lot of stuff, and people could, you know, you could sit here and judge, but this is something, integrity of the game, it's a big no-no. I believe the NFL is going to push back. I don't think they want this headache. The Big 12, because Texas Tech, I thought dumbly, went to bat for him and said, we're going to keep him. We paid him. We're doing this. And somewhere along the line, I think the Big 12 came in and said, this isn't happening. A judge in Texas in Lubbock gave him the okay to do it. Texas Tech, because they're spending a bunch of money and they gave him a bunch of money, want to win. The Big 12 came in and pretty much forced Sorsby's hand to go supplemental draft. And the only way you can go supplemental draft is if you are eligible to. He is. Can't play. He's not going to be. So he put himself in the draft. So however you want to think about it, college football, let me promise you this. They are very happy that this is not going to be on their plate anymore.
No doubt.
They don't want to deal with this. And I am very certain the NFL doesn't either. But here we go. I don't know how this is going to shake out. And as I said, and the tease, there was talk. What's the dude's name, the Alabama quarterback that the Rams drafted, Ty Simpson?
Yes.
Is that right?
Mr. Simpson is 13. A fugitive from justice.
And I'll say, when we went down to Tuscaloosa, when the Badgers went down, I watched that game, I thought he was the best quarterback that the Wisconsin Badgers faced last year. Simpson. I thought I think he got banged up. He shredded us. And our defense is pretty dang good, as we saw as the season went on. Now, our offense was not, but our defense was. And he was a drop back. He looked the part. I thought this kid's going to be a first-round pick when we walked out of Tuscaloosa. At least that was what the impression I had. NFL draft nicks have said that this kid, Brandon Sorsby, is better. That he would have went higher. Whether or not that's true, I don't know, but there are enough. There's enough volume that is saying he is probably a late first-round pick grade in last year's draft. Now, the supplemental draft is a goofy deal.
Mike
wherever
Wall.
You utilize, just to give a little, if people don't know, wherever you use the pick, if you go fifth round in a supplemental, you lose next year's fifth. Sixth round, etc. So Mike Wall is probably our most, you could correct me if I'm wrong, Jason, the supplemental pick, we used a second-round pick on him, and he was a fantastic player here for a long time. Started off a little sluggish, but, man, what a stud. Should be a Packer Hall of Famer. Will be at some point. Great player for Green Bay. So we ended up using a second round in the summer of 99. We lost the 2000, or whatever, it would have been 98. 99,
correct.
We lost that pick.
Correct.
In the next year. Second-round pick, but when you look at what Mike did, totally worth it. Would you, as a Packer fan, you're always looking for the next best thing. We have Jordan Love. Do you throw a sixth or seventh round flyer in a year that you're going to have a bunch of late picks because of the compensatory pool? I'm going to say no for a bunch of reasons, But I think it's intriguing enough to look at it and at least have that conversation. Because a sixth or seventh round pick, if you can get a first or second round talent, usually I would say go for it.
Mm-hmm.
In this case, I'm going to say no. What say you?
I say no, but for one reason and one reason only. Because everything else makes sense. And if the NFL had a, if the NFL relied on Lubbock, Texas judges to decide how long people should be penalized for betting, maybe I would answer this question differently. But the NFL is very clear. It's a lifetime ban now for him if he gets caught doing it again. And that, to me, is too much of a risk. Right? Like, even if it was he could be suspended for four games because all this happened before he made it to the NFL. Right? There was the whole thing with the Detroit Lions that our guy Quintez Cephas got caught up in, right? Which wasn't even betting on the Lions or betting on NFL games. It was like betting on something else, but doing it on their phones from inside the facility or something. Like, it is a lifetime ban if you're wrong. So, yeah, do I think that the risk is minimal in terms of the draft pick? And I think how this works, Tausch, and I have to look this up to fact check, but I think you put your bid in, like eBay.
You do.
Like, I'm going to bid a sixth-round pick. In the case
whoever
of
has the
Wall,
best bid gets it.
Right. And in the case of Mike yep. Wall, Ron Wolf really wanted him. And rightfully so. Like, he had been suspended for his senior season at Navy for a positive steroid test. And that was why he ended up in the supplemental draft. And, yeah, he kind of redshirted for a year or two, but he ended up being a really, really good football player. In the history of the supplemental draft, no one has even been selected or, in some years, I don't even know if they had one, since 2019.
Well, they haven't even had a supplemental draft for a few of these years.
Right.
Because players haven't been eligible or nobody has registered.
So a couple of players that stand out from the history, Josh Gordon.
I think we should get Lambeau because
of
such a
supplemental
success.
Draft.
We should host the supplemental draft. That's a smaller scale, just
smaller
title,
gathering,
Tom. Just a little baby one.
We could have it at the Trio.
Sure.
Josh Gordon, Ahmad Brooks, and Mike Wall are probably the three best players. Also, Rob Moore, a former wide receiver at Syracuse, was a pretty successful NFL player. The most successful player to be taken in a supplemental draft? Chris Carter.
Yeah.
Pretty good deal yeah. back in 1987.
Steve Walsh, if you remember the old days, the Cowboys, they had Troy Aikman, and they drafted Steve Walsh.
You're right,
Miami.
The following year. Good memory.
Who was a friend of Evan Cohen's. And actually, we had dinner. All of us had dinner together way back before I was even a GKB teammate.
Terrell Pryor, did you say his name?
Good job.
That was the one that I remember
Brian
from
Bosworth,
a few years back.
Back in 1987 as well. Same draft as Chris Carter. And Bernie Kosar in 1985 after he graduated from
I would
Miami
say this.
As a junior.
If you could get him for a seventh, and he, even if he got suspended for a stretch because of this, he's not going to play this year. We have one
right.
and twos locked.
Yep.
This could be, if you can get him for a seventh, are you doing it?
I still, the lifetime ban thing is what makes me
it's a seventh
leery.
Round pick. We just are talking about early picks that didn't make it to through
yeah,
the second
well,
season.
You traded two of those seventh round picks from this year to move up and take a kicker that Ryan Longwell is in the process of fixing.
If
the lifetime ban is the deal breaker for me.
If you got a starting quarterback type of player, seventh round that could sit for two or three years, and then you flip him a la Aaron Brooks and Matt Hasselbeck, what are you? That, to me, would be the plan. If he's as good as you think he is. Now, I'm out on him because this just shows this is dumb by him.
Correct.
I don't like it.
Poor
but
judgment.
I'm saying the Packers situation, if I'm Sorsby, this actually would be a great scenario for me. because you're going to get in a great program. You're going to get some time away, and you're going to get a chance to build and be a practice player in the one of the best systems, and in a guy that has shown that he can develop quarterbacks, and he'd be a third quarterback for 2 years probably.
And he could take the over on the Packers' 10.5 wins for next season.
Hard Rock Casino Rockford probably enjoy him, certainly.
All right, we need to get to Evan Cohen. I already told you about Steinhoffels. I'm seeing lots of responses. A few people irritated that we gave people time to look up the answer. That's the whole point. This is the honor system. Okay, don't cheat. You should. By the way, shouldn't have had to look up the answer today, because the way we went about discussing it should have made it easy to stay on the honor system without looking it up. Just one man's opinion. Again, check out the Steinhoffels 4th of July sale kicking off soon. Evan Cohen joins us next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is our crew.
Blake hits it high and deep to left field. Backing up Sosa. Turning, watching, leaping. Goodbye!
We are Madison's home of the Brewers. 100.5 ESPN.
Now, to discuss Brendan Sorsby and the latest from Windy about Yanni, on the Yuengling guest hotline, Yuengling, the oldest brewery in America, 197 years, almost as old as America itself, now in Wisconsin officially. See it everywhere now. Every grocery store I go into, there it is. Saw it at Sendix when I stopped there on my way to Milwaukee on Sunday. It's everywhere. DG Yuengling and Son, Pottsville, PA. Enjoy responsibly. It is Evan Cohen of Unsportsmanlike. Evan, good morning. How are you?
JC, Marky, Jesse, it's Evie.
Nice.
And speaking of old, tomorrow's a big day. Okay, how we doing? Everybody good?
Doing good. why are we calling him Evie?
Because I said Windy and Yanni.
Sorsby.
Yeah. Sorty.
See, I was listening, Tausch, to someone speaking other than you, and I know that's a novel concept for you.
That is.
It is a big day tomorrow, although certain people don't know how old they're going to be turning tomorrow, which I thought was interesting. Evan, what do you make of this sordid, because that's Tausch's line, Sorsby situation, and where would you fall on what I thought was a great question by Tausche, which was, would you spend a sixth or seventh pick in the supplemental draft and take a flyer on Brendan Sorsby now that he, assuming he is accepted into the supplemental draft, now he'll be doing that instead of playing at Texas Tech this year.
So many layers to this, Jason. So let's talk about what you just left off there, whether or not he'll be accepted. If you're the NFL, why not just accept him and put it on the teams? I'm not trying to say, like, mm-hmm. you know, pass the buck, but
totally
let the 32 teams shuffle it out on that one. That's number one. Number two, I think what's fascinating about this is you have to look at this in two parts. If I am a college athlete right now, am I able to get away with gambling on the sport that I play? What is your answer to that question?
Sure seems like it. Mm-hmm.
Not okay. worth it.
So
though.
I don't have an.
I think most of us.
100%. 100% not worth
yeah,
it.
Yeah, agreed.
100% not worth it. But, if you're, I'm not encouraging this. What I'm saying is because he's entering the supplemental draft, we actually don't have a final answer to that question because nothing's going to happen. What are they going to rule him ineligible after the fact? Who cares, right? So I kind of look at that and say, unfortunately, they have not discouraged the person that is a red shirt, that doesn't play, that is not a major part of the team, that doesn't make a lot of money, from potentially finding ways of making a lot of money with inside information on a team, gambling on that team, because I don't know what the penalty actually is. That's unfortunate because I don't think that that should ever be allowed, a player gambling on the sport that they're in. The second part is, I think we're up to part two. Part two, I have no idea if he's good. I don't know. Everyone says he's really good, mm-hmm. right? Everybody says he would have been the second quarterback ahead of Ty Simpson drafted this year. Everyone says he's going to be, he would have been a first rounder next year. The thing is, we don't have a year's worth of us knowing this to watch him. We're going to watch C.J. Carr of Notre Dame differently this year. We're going to obviously watch Arch Manning in a different way this year. We're going to watch Lenoris Sellers of South Carolina, Dante Moore of Oregon. We're going to watch all of these guys differently because we know they're projected to be a first-round pick. We didn't have that with this guy. That's part three, I think. Part four is to your question. Yes, I would take a flyer on him in the sixth or seventh round, because of the fact that I think there's one huge part of this that we are leaving out. To my knowledge, he stopped. He didn't bet at Cincinnati, did he, on football? It was just at Indiana. That's not saying that it couldn't happen again. I am completely aware of and I acknowledge the idea of how serious the illness of addiction is. But there seems to be a level of recovery that is in play. And as long as you as an organization, in this case the Packers, start with his addiction and his recovery and then get to football, it seems like it would be a worthy risk.
So according to David Purdom's story on ESPN.com, the way he writes this, he wagered while he was enrolled at Indiana, Cincinnati, and Texas Tech.
No, but I guess what I'm saying, Jason, did he bet on Cincinnati football while at Cincinnati?
Oh, so he was definitely betting all 3 years, but you're saying he wasn't betting on his own team anywhere other than Indiana when he wasn't really playing. Okay.
That's what I'm asking.
Yeah.
Because the idea of game fixing and betting with inside information while neither are okay, one seems to be significantly worse
good
than
point.
The other.
Very good point.
Tausch, you redshirted your freshman year or no? I can't remember.
I did, yes. Yep, I did.
Okay.
Number 140.
So in theory, if you were to bet on games that year, it's because, I know that this guy is hurt or that this matchup is good for us, I could bet on him. Then you fast forward to your senior year and you bet on games, you would be able to impact them. That, to me, that's a difference. Neither okay, but like you could play a role in the outcome of that, right?
Yeah, obviously if you're out on the field and that's why this is such a big deal. And
right.
We saw that with officials, obviously with the Donaghy scandal, I don't know how many years ago that was. And by the way, the NBA, I don't know how, whoever their PR firm that handled that, they got that out. They ended up doing a pretty good job of mitigating all of that. This is a complete no-no.
I'll tell you what the PR firm think... was. Wait, Tausch, you just made the best point that anyone's made, and I haven't even thought about this until this moment.
Okay.
You just made the single best point. The PR firm for the NBA at that time was the PR firm of David Stern. Clear-cut person in charge, unafraid of consequences of actions, unafraid of public perception, only with the intentions of doing what was in the best interest for the National Basketball Association. One of the reasons we started the conversation the way we did, where there's a gray area on whether or not the rhetorical question of, wait, can I get away with gambling, is because no one is in charge.
So if you're Roger Goodell, I started the show with this, the NCAA is happier than a clam because they don't want to deal with it. I don't even know who would deal with it, to kind of your point.
Correct.
If you're Roger Goodell, I would think he maybe would say, you're suspended the first year, and is this a headache that you want to bring in? I would say no.
Well, I like the idea of suspending him right off the bat. I think that actually is healthy for all parties involved, including him. Right? Because then he's going to have – I would suspend – this is the thing. Do you suspend him not allowed to be on the, around the team, or do you suspend him and allow him to be on the team just to test him a little bit to see if he actually will then play his bets, knowing he has no impact on the on-field part of it? I don't know what you're supposed to do. because now we're going to go back to the Terrell Pryor, Jim Tressel situation, where in essence the NFL suspended them for actions based on what happened at Ohio State, which again, mm-hmm.
How ridiculous does that look now? How ridiculous
I mean, it's like ESPN Wisconsin suspending Jason for an action writing for Channel 3000. Like, while that, I guess, conceptually is could happen for, based on, like, oh, you put the brand of ESPN Wisconsin in a bad light, I'm not talking about that. I'm saying, like, if he did something that was so specific, if you literally had an internal email gone wrong at Channel 3000, why would you be suspended at another company? That seems crazy to me. But
is there something? Am I missing something here? Jason, did you send an email?
I don't think so.
Lord knows you promote Channel 3000 a heck of a lot more. We all get that. And you put out your articles and you talk about it, you retweet and all that.
God,
but I'm just curious.
Do you know, Jason, do you know you're on Wilby and Tausch while we're at this? Good point, Tausch.
Says the guy, 10 years he's been on this show, Jason.
Says the guy who just retweeted the fact that I posted that Evan was on the show and sent the links to the YouTube channels. Yeah, right. You're right. I prioritized that clearly. Look. I
haven't seen Tausch post much
first
about
of
the
all,
show lately.
Thank you, Jesse. Thank you, Jesse.
Oh,
I don't write for Channel 3000.
No, you host
this
show
about?
Every day, though. I don't know if you forgot. You can post a link to a show once in a while, or old T.
Jesse,
sick burn,
Jesse,
bro.
Jesse, how about this? Jesse, put it on the poll at Wilby and Tausch. Who promotes the show in a better way, Jason or Mark? Good one.
Yeah.
Who's better at promoting the show, Jesse or Mark?
Okay. I'm not comfortable with this. I need this job
so
for a very
line,
long time.
So, bottom line, Evan, if you're New England, you're a New England fan, we're Green Bay, Jason's nobody as a fan. I don't want him. I don't think the juice is worth the squeeze. If you're going to take a flyer at a seventh, Green Bay, if I'm Sorsby, Green Bay is where I want to go because you get developed. You're going to have a bunch of time. You're going to have a three-year window, and then you get flipped is, in essence, what I think Green Bay would hope.
Yeah, I don't know
about
that.
I don't want
him,
though,
I don't know about that because normally I like the draft, develop, play later is the best way for him to get past all of this, to just play right away and be good.
Probably. Well, no, because – let's put it this way.
Now, if he has
he
a bad
would
game,
initially...
here's the thing. Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say, the reason I would say no is because we all see this. 10 years we've been doing this show. The cycle's pretty obvious. A lot of attention in late July, August. Once the season starts, he's going to be an afterthought completely. Third string. Nobody is going to talk. Wildy won't even go talk to him, even though Rudy Ford and everybody else. He is not going to go down that road. And it would be all the way until probably June of the next year, and then you'd start looking at all of that. So you'd have a full year of really little to no, outside of the month of August, scrutiny on anything you're doing.
So let's now push this back to Jason.
Thank you.
So
great.
Let's say –
about
let's
my employment?
Say, no, let's say – no,
I was wondering what email you sent.
Let's say – let's say Sorsby is drafted by the Packers.
Okay.
In a supplemental draft.
Right.
When do you stop talking to him in your mind?
Well, first of all, as Tausch so adeptly pointed out, I think there's not many things I'm known for, but I talk to everybody. I think that might be one of them. Like, if you were
Mr.
to...
Mr. Social, Jason Wilde.
That's me. Work in the room. Yes, sir. But it's not just because I'm a friendly guy by nature. It's because there's an ulterior motive there. You never know.
When they become good, you talk to them first.
Right. You never know, right? Like, you just don't.
Okay,
and so
let me ask a better question, because, yes, you would never stop talking to Sorsby. You're right about that, and that's a bad question by me. So let me re-ask this. Let's do it this way. Let's spin it positive. Let's say Jordan Love wins the lottery, and he has so much money that he's just decided to cure all illness in the world. So
love
he's
it.
Gone.
Yeah.
Okay.
All like of a like Elon Musk should
starting.
Be. Sorry.
Right. So... well, people can do what they want with their money, but I'm just saying, this hypothetical, right? So,
yes.
Brandon Sorsby's playing. First game of the season, throws 3 interceptions. Are we asking him questions? Did you do that on purpose?
Yeah.
I am not asking him that question that way. But
should
I don't think there's...
How would you frame it?
Right. And well, but here's the thing.
Allegedly.
Off the cuff, I would probably say, Brandon, look. This isn't going to be fair to you, but you know people are thinking about this. I want to give you the opportunity to say unequivocally, like, when you throw three interceptions in a game, people are going to ask questions about you because of your past. Like, you should be able to just have the ability to have a crummy game and it just be a crummy game. But you know as well as I do that there are people thinking about whether you did that on purpose. What would you tell those people? I think I'd probably frame it that way.
Now, would you ask a follow-up?
Well, it depends what he said.
No, that's not what he does. He doesn't do follow-up.
That is so...
Seems like a leading question to me.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, Evan set it up that way. It's blame Evan, not me.
What if he was doing it for gambling reasons?
Well, he's not going to say yes, obviously. Yeah,
wait,
you got
to ask
the question. I'm cashing in, bro.
Imagine you asked that, and then he said, you know, I had the under. What do you want?
As a matter of fact.
I just won $1 million on this game.
Heck of a line.
I would, again.
It would be amazing if he actually said that.
Again, I always want you to tell the truth, right? And that would be the truth. So I appreciate his honesty. Evan, we got to you later than I was hoping, but we need to spend some time on this because Windy has been, he's got his finger on the pulse, it would appear, of the Giannis situation. And your team, the Heat, apparently the Bucks have been underwhelmed by their offer per Windy, and they are seeking out alternatives. What's your read on the current situation? Because you have said, and I agree with you, I think we have discounted the possibility that the Milwaukee Bucks will not find anything that they're really happy with in terms of trade value, and they won't trade them.
Yeah. I have said that. I do believe currently that trade is more likely than that. I think the Heat offer is a good offer. I think the Bucks know that they have that in their back pocket anytime they want. I think they're probably searching through the potentially great offers to see if that aligns with what Giannis is looking for. I don't know that they care or don't care as to what Giannis is looking for. I do know that in my mind, I have not once said that I believe he's going to the Heat on the air. I have not said that.
Mm-hmm.
My question actually today has been, if he was going to the Heat, why would he not have gone there already? And I think, does he want to go to the Heat? Yeah, Brian said that. So why has he not gone to the Heat? Because Giannis doesn't want to get involved. I think if Giannis ends up going to the Heat, it will be because he will do something that he hasn't done up until this point, which is basically say, trade me to the Heat. I will not sign the extension. I don't want to play here anymore, and I will not sign the extension anywhere else. Let me also add that I would like you to find the person that has reported the Celtics have offered Jaylen Brown. You're going to look for a long time, and you're not going to find that. All people have said is that the Celtics are interested in Giannis.
Mm-hmm.
Interestingly enough, do I think this is going to happen? No. But technically, the Boston Celtics, if they were to use their guard, Derek White, amongst other players, could actually put a package together, not for the Bucks, but in a 3 or 4 team deal, that would enable them to get Giannis numerically without having to give up Brown or Tatum. Now you would sit there and say, well, how in the world could that happen? My argument would be, a lot of times, and Milwaukee did this when winning a championship with Drew Holiday, the finishing piece is actually higher priced than the starting piece. Go look back at the Drew Holiday deal. Didn't Milwaukee give up 3 first-rounders?
I believe so, yes.
He was the finishing piece. How about the Knicks? They gave up 5 first-rounders for Mikal Bridges. Finishing piece. Ivica Zubac with the Indiana Pacers this year, the Miles Turner replacement, they gave up 2 first-rounders to get him from the Clippers. That's more, I think, than they gave up for Halliburton. Now, they gave up Sabonis, the state of Wisconsin's own Tyrese Halliburton, but you get what I'm saying. So do I think that a team is going to give up 2 first-rounders for Derek White? Probably not. But if you get a first-rounder, multiple seconds, and a young player to go to Milwaukee, in addition to all the picks that the Bucks have. I mean, sorry, the Celtics have, that could go to Milwaukee. I'm not saying it's likely. What I'm saying is, I don't think it's Miami at this point, unless Giannis makes it Miami. And no one has said that Jaylen Brown is in the trade.
Clippers, there's some Clipper talk with a little three-way action, getting that fifth pick overall. Yep. There's other stuff. But I'm going to ask you this before you go. Mm-hmm. Why has Miami not given Tyler Hero the big boy extension? And would you, as an executive, want to center your basketball squad with Tyler Hero being one of your central pieces?
So Tyler Hero has been a part of a team that went to two NBA Finals, including his rookie season. He's been an all-star. He's been a sixth man of the year. He's been a 20-point-per-game player. He is also someone that works his ass off. I think that people think because of the way he looks, which, like, I'm being honest with you, like, he's cool. He dresses cool. You think he's out and about. That's not him. He's, like, the exact opposite of that. But, no, he's not the face. I would not give him the contract extension that he wants. Absolutely not. I believe the perfect role for him is sixth man. And I don't think the Bucks are building their franchise around him in any way, shape, or form. I think that they would use him to get more.
He would be the central piece of a trade with the Heat.
No, he wouldn't. No, he wouldn't. He would be the salary. Don't look at it that way. That's not correct.
But I'm telling you how it would be viewed, Evan. But that's how it's viewed.
Okay, well, if he's on the Pistons, okay, well, then that's not a good trade. But the reality is that's not what the case is. He would be the highest contract that they believe they could get value elsewhere from. That's what he would be. Mm. And I believe that they would be right about that. So here's the thing. This time next week when we talk, it's more likely than not he is going to be on another team. So, all right, guys, LA time.
Thanks, Evan. Bye. That is Evan Cohen of Unsportsmanlike. How do you feel about Tyler Hero?
I think he'd be a nice player.
I think he would be too.
When you're talking about the Giannis trade, that's not where my head's at.
No.
Like I said yesterday, let's complicate the heck out of this thing. The more teams involved, I think the better the Bucks are going to be.
I don't think the next episode, when it drops, I'd have to ask Monas about this. I don't think it's going to be behind the Bucks on the Bucks Plus Audio Network, behind the Giannis Antetokounmpo trade. But maybe it will be. We'll have to wait and see what happens, and we'll have to see when the next episode drops. But right now, the episode that you can listen to on Behind the Bucks, presented by Gallagher, your trusted insurance broker and HR and benefits consultant, is the Bucks versus the World, narrated by Charlie Behrens. You can find that on bucks.com/plus, the Bucks app, the ESPN Wisconsin app, and wherever you get your podcasts. Behind the Bucks, presented by Gallagher. More Wildy and Tausch straight ahead. Stick around.
Wildy and Tausch on 100.5 ESPN is brought to you by Everlight Solar. Save money, save the planet. Everlight Solar.
As always, Evan Cohen. Always good conversations with him. I'm not sure I love using me potentially being suspended or reprimanded by one of my employers as a comparison.
By the way, I did read your Ryan Longwell article on Channel 3000. It was very good.
Did you see how I'm learning new stuff, too? Like, I was able to embed the video that Jesse posted on Twitter of his answer.
I want to thank our friends at Cheesehead TV. Showed you, I guess, how that works.
They had nothing to do with it. No, they had nothing to do with it. No, they didn't.
That's how they did their article, and I think you saw that, and then you said, how can I pull
I never
that
saw
off?
Their article. I just saw their tweet, which then led to all kinds of replies.
By the way, just another follow-up, because old T shouldn't get just, you know, let go on this here. Jason's last tweet promoting our show was 23 minutes ago. Tausch's last tweet promoting our show was February 19th? What? Boom. What happened, old T? You off of Twitter now or
what? Do you
what?
Mean?
How come you haven't promoted our show in 4 months?
I haven't been on Twitter as much. That's, I guess, the
main reason. That? Why is that?
What do you mean?
Well,
I just haven't used it as much.
You would acknowledge, like, we can agree to disagree on your guy Elon Musk and some different aspects of what he's done, but you would agree that Twitter is worse under his stewardship now, right? You would agree
no.
with that?
No,
really?
Wouldn't.
We went from 1,000 votes in our polls to 76
really on,
votes.
Got rid of the bots. That's a good
thing. I was never really
no,
on Twitter till I had a stretch. Twitter's Twitter, man. It's just like
why can't we just like agree on one thing?
Because I don't agree with you. I don't think it's. I mean, it's definitely different.
It's demonstrably
the fact
worse.
It's now. You have to be verified, and there's other things that you have to do to get certain reach. So there's other things that are in play. But no, I'm not gonna say it's. I think it's very similar. At least my experience is very similar to what it's been. So I can't agree with you. I wish I could, but I can't.
Well, how the hell do you know? You haven't been on it since February 19th, apparently.
Fair enough.
All right. Can we still call them the Chicago Bears if they move to Indiana? Was Tausch's last tweet promoting the show.
Promoting the show.
They're the Indiana Bears once they decide to make that move.
Wally Lukaczynski, our teammate in Beaver Dam and the Dam Sports Show with him and Ashley Dobrzynski. He said because
why don't they call the show Lukaczynski and Dobrzynski?
it'd be the ski report. He said, because Hammett is essentially a suburb, and I use that term loosely, of Gary, he's using the term the Gare Bears, which I like. You know, Care Bears, Gare Bears, I kind of like that. What do we think of that? It's catchy.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. Anything that's Indiana-related, because, again, if you're paying the full freight, you should get the benefits of it. So, yeah, anything Indiana-related, I'm fine with. Just not Chicago. You don't want to pay the freight. You don't get the cargo. It's kind of how that goes.
Bob Moore. Is that who said that originally?
Maybe.
All right.
Maybe. I got a weird thing now. My text messages are getting sorted differently. I never signed up for any of it. I don't know how this all works. So
I don't get as many replies from you anymore
as I used to.
All right. To kick off the 10 o'clock hour, it was not Bob Moore. It was Jen Latta who asked me what I thought was a very good question this morning on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. I'm going to ask Tausch it. You didn't have to be there. You just had to be aware of the coverage of the offseason as a whole. Who was the player who was the biggest winner during the offseason program? Give that some thought. We'll talk about it to kick off the 10 o'clock hour in 2 minutes, so stick around. It's Wildy and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.